Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moment. Matthew Meadows joins us today. He is the information security engineer for Premier. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. It's nice to be here.
So it looks like you're in like a bunker there, like a fallout shelter almost. I love the soundproofing there. It's like I need to have some of that professional stuff done here, although I think between all the junk I have behind me, the computers, and then the stuffed dog in the background, I think that absorbs the sound pretty well.
Too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I
found this just recently. I was thinking about recording outside, and then I was like, why not come to a podcast studio? Let's do it here.
There you go. It looks very professional. Yeah. Would love to hear about your story, how and why you got into information security, cybersecurity, and take us through your entire journey up into where you're at today.
Yeah, yeah. So the funny part is I tell a lot of people I was initially going to go to school for nursing. You know, at that point in time, I was young. I'm still young, but I was younger at that point. But it just didn't fit my niche. Like there was a ton to memorize. There's a ton to memorize in security too, but I started there, and then I realized I've messed with computers all of my life, so why not go in that direction? And that's where I went. I started in a manufacturing plant on a line, messing with some receivers. They go into people's homes, and then I moved up from there, got into software testing, worked a little bit for Xbox. But that was more of the technical customer support side of things. And then I really dived in and got some experience in the fintech industry, and then finally found my grounds within the healthcare industry, and that's where I've been. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the security side of it, protecting patient data, working through all the issues. There's something new every day. It's never the same. So, yeah, it's been a long journey, but it's been a really good journey too. So,
what is a typical day for you as an information security engineer?
Yeah, so a typical day really, you know, obviously, well, I don't know about all IT professionals, but I start my morning out with coffee. I have to have my coffee.
I do Celsius.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I really dig in. I go through some initial alerts, go through and investigate some of those, look in our ticket queues, see if anything's going on in there. And then I focus in a lot on firewall requests, reviewing those, some networking. And then throughout the day, you know, I go over, I help multiple teams, for instance, with our SOC. I help them with various different items with alerts and investigations. And, you know, by the end of the day, by the time I get done with that, there's about 20 other things to do. But I try to stop myself at a point where I'm like, okay, it's time to go. It's time to wrap up. Like, we got to take a breather here because it gets to be a lot at times. So,
well, I like the fact that you've kind of like merged two interests rather. You say that you started out in nursing and you were interested in healthcare, and obviously you have an attraction to the technical side of stuff and went through that as part of your career. But now you've kind of merged the two in a way. And the way that we first got connected was, in fact, and obviously you know this, but I'm explaining this for the podcast audience, is that you contacted me wanting to explain a health cybersecurity training framework or sorts that you've developed or your team together has developed. And I thought, you know what, instead of you telling me that initially, how about, it sounds like it's promising, how about you explain that to me on the podcast? That's what we're here for. So I'd like to hear what is that all about?
Yeah, so it initially started as an idea because I worked in the industry, not just specifically security, but in IT in general for quite a few years now. And I've noticed a lot in my profession that there's a lot of skills gaps. And it's not from students or cybersecurity professionals or IT professionals not going to school. It's from people that are, I would say, well, I want to say this carefully, but, you know, taking the initiative to learn a lot on their own, which I believe is great. I do that on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. But I found an issue where in my position where students and with coworkers that I work with will start at the top, right? So they want to get into the nitty gritty stuff. They want to go, dive into investigations, dive into malware, dive into recent attacks and so on. And the problem I found there was people aren't taking time to build a good foundation and starting at the bottom. And yes, I know some of that stuff is fairly boring at times, understanding terms and, you know, just understanding the basic stuff. So that's where it started. And then I was like, I've worked in healthcare most of my career, so why don't I develop something in line with the Carolina Cyber Network and with the school that I teach at that would gear towards cybersecurity professionals in the healthcare industry or people who are looking to go into the healthcare industry. And right now, we have two programs developed. We've got a entry-level program, which is more for your frontline people, your administrative staff, your medical assistants, anybody front office that goes through some regulations, state and federal, obviously some HIPAA regulations as well. And it introduces them to some cybersecurity concepts. And one of the big things in that course is the barrier between IT and the frontline people, right? So in my career, I've also noticed that people will call into IT and then I tell you to do all this stuff. And they're like, what do you mean? What's my IP address? I have no idea. Like, what do you mean? Click the start menu and go to control panel. Like they don't understand that stuff, which is fine because they don't work in IT. And so what I've tried to do within that first level course is break that barrier with those people, provide them with some fundamental concepts in both IT and cybersecurity, some of the jargon we use, obviously, mm-hmm. so that they know what we're talking about. It goes through a lot of items. The next level course that we have is really a cyber healthcare defender track. And here's another big item that I go through in that track is the soft skills and awareness. As I'm sure you're aware too, you know, some IT folks have a little bit of an issue communicating the actual business need or the business problem and how to resolve those things.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I will frequently say that one of the most important certifications that I've gotten in my career had nothing to do with cyber. It was the Toastmasters Competent Communicator and Competent Leader, because right. of that exact fact. It's like we do a terrible job in IT and InfoSec and cybersecurity of learning how to communicate. So I totally agree. I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead.
No, you're fine. Yeah. And I mean, I'm happy to hear that perspective from that too, because it's a big deal. I can remember one of the first incidents I was working on, and I walked up to the VP and I was like, this is what's going on. This is what was hit. This is, you know, this, that, and the other. And they were like, you need to slow down and you need to tell me exactly what's going on, how we're going to fix it and how we're going to get there and how long it's going to take us to get there. And I had to stop for a minute. I was like, even though he's the VP, that doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to hear all the IT jargon that I have to spit out at him, right?
No, in fact, by as you start telling him that, he's just going to shut down. Right. I mean, you got a window with an executive like that. You've got a window of probably about 15 to 30 seconds.
Right.
And if you haven't triggered something in his mind, the rest of the time that he or she is standing there is most likely just to be polite. I mean, I hate to be brutally honest, but that's what actually happens. They shut down. You can actually see it in their face, and you never want that to happen.
Right. Yeah. And that was a big issue. And I realized that very quickly, and I was like, I've got to change something. And that's where the soft skills comes into play, because I've built myself up now where I can speak to people or come on podcasts like yours and talk to other individuals and really try to relay that information effectively and in the minimal amount of time, because that's the thing with executives, right? They want to know it within that 15 to 30 second period. They want to know what's going on, how you're going to fix it, how long it's going to take, and what the impact's going to be on the organization.
And one of the things that people need to realize within IT is that this is not the time for you to showcase yourself. And I know that sometimes you have that desire. It's like, ooh, you know, somebody important is listening to me. I need to explain to them as fast as I can just how awesome and wonderful I am. Don't do that. Right. Don't do that there. Just explain what the problem is, what the solution is. The awesomeness will come through that. Trust me. Because the other way around, if you start trying to sell yourself while you're trying to talk about a solution, you're going to shut down. And you're going to be someone then that the executive won't want to talk to. And you don't want to break that line of communication.
Correct. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that comes after the fact, like you just said, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, in that situation, you should be focused on getting everything resolved, making sure the business is secure, any issues are resolved, obviously. And then after the fact, if everything goes smoothly, then, you know, you're the person who's going to get the glory of the situation. So,
well, yeah. And that's exactly it, because you will be remembered at the end when the whole thing is done, of having had a significant contribution for keeping the business going. And that's the only reason why IT and cybersecurity and InfoSec exists, is to support the business. And at that point in time, then you become more of a trusted advisor. You can't talk your way into the circle, so to speak, but you can definitely work your way that way. And I think that's great. And I think I love the fact that you're addressing some of the things, not only the soft skills, but you mentioned earlier on too, about talking about the basics, because just recently, as you're aware of course, we're recording this, but this would have been then last week. There was the AT&T outage, and it came out, at least as of the date of this recording, that it looks like that the problem was a software update that went wrong. Now, most often than not, that the first root cause that I would look for there is something very basic. I would look at change management. But the thing about it is that in my experience, particularly with small and mid-sized businesses, but really across the entire spectrum, we don't pay as much attention to change management as we probably should. Why? Not because it's not an important thing, or not because we're just missing a gap. It's because it's really not one of those glitter things that you want to, like you were talking about before, about people just wanted to jump in at the top and start like taking care of tickets without understanding the stuff underneath. Anyone and everyone who's successful in information security and cybersecurity, they have to understand that you have to start at the bottom. You have to understand the basics, and that's okay, because you need that foundation. So I applaud you for recognizing that in this. There are a lot of folks that want to skip over that, and you just can't do that.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you skip the foundational items, I mean, as they always say, a strong foundation creates way for greatness. And if you don't have a strong foundation, everything's at some point can crumble, or you're going to mess up, or, you know, something bad's going to happen or wrong's going to happen, and you're not going to know what to do. So the foundational portion of that is it's really important. So, Yeah, I mean, the second portion of the class is really, or the course of the framework, is really going through like the soft skills and awareness, making sure that the IT personnel understand legal and compliance, frameworks and risk management, some networking. And then we really dive into some healthcare IT security. And this is where it's really fun for me is the medical devices. And yes. Don't see a lot of people doing a lot. I mean, there is some research going on with medical device vulnerabilities, but that's the fun part right there is figuring out how to actively secure those. Because nobody thinks about the infusion pump being hacked that could be life-threatening, right?
So. Oh, I do. I mean, I don't need to have any of those medical devices yet, but I'm at the age where it's like, well, I might need one of those things at some point right. in time or another. And it's like, but no, that scares the crap out of me. If you excuse the my language, it's like, what can be done with regards to that? I mean, it's not like you just have like a normal patch routine for a pacemaker or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good question too, because before that, in the course, we go through the networking and security, and it all starts really, first of all, with your personnel being able to recognize, hey, something's wrong, something's going on, or this isn't working right, or something's flashing on the screen, or whatever the case may be. But then it also goes into the networking and configuring devices securely, putting devices like IoT on secure VLANs, or you know, just doing best practice. And I know a lot of organizations, and I've been in a lot of situations where we try to do things that makes it easiest on us, right? Instead of actually doing it the correct way. And that's where the vulnerabilities lie. And throughout the framework and the course, we try to identify those and ways to fix those things.
I'm not necessarily against the idea of trying to make things easier on us if it's for the right reasons. Like I often would say, and this is more when I was in IT support, I grew up, if you will, in my career in networking. I would say that I would work hard so that I wouldn't have to work hard. And what I meant by that is that I would put in all the hours in the front in order so that I didn't get paged at 2:30 in the morning, because everybody hates that, you know, and particularly if you can't remote in and you got to drive on site, things are a little bit different nowadays. But I get what you're saying. It's like, I think, again, I hate to go back to the same subject, but it touches on, again, something that's a little bit disturbing, I think, in cyber is this attitude of thinking that I can jump ahead to the end game without putting, as a friend of mine passed away many, many years ago, but he taught me when I was young, he said, you have to put in your dues. You can't be lazy about this sort of stuff, because ultimately that work does pay off down the line. And actually, what is it that I think the financial guru, Dave Ramsey, I don't listen to him as much as I used to anymore, but he used to say, it's like, live like nobody else so that you can live like nobody else.
Right.
And the idea being there is like, put in the hard work on the front end and enjoy the benefits later, not this instant gratification. So I got off on a tangent.
I mean, it's true though. You know, I mean, and I always say work smarter, not harder at the end.
Well, that's the better saying. I should have gone with that.
Right. No, but I mean, at the end of the day, the thing is if you put things into place, you train people properly, you do things by best practice, that is working smarter, because at the end of the day, then you're not running around like crazy, trying to fix issues that you could have prevented to begin with. Right.
Right. And then you look better to the executives too, because it's like, I remember one time when I was at a major institution in Tennessee, and there was a big virus that happened. And because of the stuff we had put in place, we never went down. But a sister institution across the state, whom I won't name, Memphis, they were down for a couple of days because they hadn't put in the same stuff that we did. And of course, I might be remembering that a little bit more in my favor, but that's what I generally think about.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds very interesting. How can people access this? Is this only through the Carolina Cyber Center?
So no, it's not only through the Carolina Cyber Center. We partner with the CCN, and we offer it through the school, and we're exploring ways to offer it to a more massive audience, right? So a lot of people are online now. So that's a venue we're exploring as well. And we're also looking at doing training the trainer throughout the Carolinas at different CCN academies, where if you lived in Myrtle Beach or something on the East Coast, there may be an academy over there that offers it if you would like to go in person. But yeah, there's a lot of different venues that you can take as far as taking the class. And right now you can see it on the website on cvcc.edu. That's Catawba Valley Community College. So
cvcc.edu is where they can go right now to find out information with regards to this. Okay. Yeah. Well, you read my mind, because I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that from experience and from doing this for a while, that being in cyber can be very stressful. And certainly you coming from a healthcare angle as well, too, you I'm sure are aware of the need to maintain a good, healthy, all around posture. I mean, you can't let the stresses of cyber totally overwhelm you. We have a problem in our industry. It's a real problem of burnout, and in some cases leading to mental illnesses. And it's tougher even now because of the way that the job situation is. So I encourage folks that they need to do something to get away from it and to recharge. What's one of the things that you do to do that?
So I really enjoy woodworking, to be honest with you. So every once in a while I go out, I have my stuff set up in my garage, and I'll get to work. I'll start working on cutting boards or something just really random. I just enjoy it. It's working with my hands, and I'm not necessarily in front of a computer. I get to be creative in a sense with what I make, and it helps me just disassociate the IT cyber fatigue that I experience myself at times, and get away from it for just a little bit. But also like to travel too. So, you know, getting away, seeing new scenes and everything. It's especially, I'm a mountain person, so being in the mountains just feels at home. So
yeah, there's nothing like the mountains, particularly in Western North Carolina. I know I've been there many times, and we'll I'm sure be back sooner than later. But I like what you said, though, as far as I've seen a constant pattern when I ask this question. A lot of folks, how they you can really distill it down to, they get away from the analytical by going to the creative. And right. I don't remember which is left and right brain, but I do the same thing myself. I find that the more stressed I am, the more I want to find a creative outlet, whether it be, I've gotten back into music myself now. I'm a horrible guitar player, but I'm tons better than I was 2 months ago. I'm getting there. I used to do open mics myself. And that was the beginning of my IT career when, things were stressful. And now I coupled that with doing some bad habits. I probably had a little bit too many of those 12-ounce curls back then, but you know, that's not good all around. So what are your future plans with regards to whether it be for yourself or for the framework, the training rather, or just anything?
Honestly, right now, future plans go, I'm going to continuously develop the framework. I'm trying to find ways to make training available to a massive amount of people in a way where they can understand, that's more hands-on and engaging instead of I'm watching a video. Some people do well watching videos, but I'm very hands-on. So I'm trying to make it in a way where they get the training they need, the hands-on experience through potentially online labs, where they can come out of the program and they're ready to go. I'm continuously trying to improve myself with certifications and training on my own too. So Cybersecurity is not somewhere where you can just stop. It's somewhere where you have to continuously go. And I enjoy learning things. That's why I like working as a engineer, but also like training and teaching too. So, yeah.
Well, I have to agree with you there. I've been in this industry for over 33 years, and every day if I don't learn something, I'm doing something wrong. Matthew, it's been wonderful having you on. I really love the fact of you working to give back to folks in the industry. That's something that is definitely needed in what we do. And thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
And everybody, stay secure.